Today, the U.S. leverages its weapons in its starkest warning yet to Israel. Floods and landslides in Brazil leave tens of thousands without shelter. And a wave of violent attacks on politicians triggers alarm in Germany. It's Thursday, May 9th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Carmel Crimmins in Dublin. President Biden, for the first time, has publicly warned Israel that the U.S. would stop supplying it weapons if it invades Rafah. He also acknowledged that U.S. bombs have killed Gazan civilians and said they're not to be used in Rafah. His remarks, in an interview with CNN, come after the U.S. halted one shipment of powerful bombs to Israel as it tries to head off an all-out incursion into the city. U.S. weapons for Israel's defense continue. Steve Holland covers the White House. Steve, this seems like a big deal, this threat and this pause in arms.
President Biden did decide to freeze one shipment of weapons. He made the decision last week. Biden has been urging Netanyahu not to invade Rafah, and this is the first time that he's actually used the levers of U.S. weapon shipments as a pressure tactic against the Israelis.
What is it they're holding back exactly?
They are holding back on a shipment of 18 to 2,000 pound bombs that are used for precision bombing. The judgment from the White House was that these types of bombs can be used to attack dense urban areas, and they are trying to protect as many civilians as they can in Gaza. So they went specifically after this type of weapon. And we are waiting to see how the State Department decides on whether Israel is complying with international law with its use of American weaponry.
What does the White House need to consider when weighing this kind of move? What are the variables?
President Biden has to walk a tightrope here because he doesn't want to anger the Israelis too much. He doesn't want them to be so upset that they would retaliate in some way by going ahead with the full-scale assault on Rafah and having many casualties. He also is under mounting political pressure at home to do something about what's going on in Gaza, where estimates are that 35,000 people have been killed. He's facing pressure from these pro-Palestinian demonstrators who show up at every single event that he has around the country. He's worried about the impact of these, if these people stay home, if these voters stay home in Michigan, for instance, it could tip the Michigan election over to Donald Trump in the November election. But he also doesn't want to alienate Jewish voters who are very strongly pro-Israel. So it's a difficult path for him.
Vote. The yeas are 359, the nays are 43, with 7 answering present. The motion is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Applause as Democrats cross the aisle to join with Republicans and vote to protect Mike Johnson's speakership. The House defeated an effort by Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene to oust the Speaker and avoid a repeat of October's chaos when Republicans forced out his predecessor, Kevin McCarthy. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol apologizing for a scandal involving his wife and a corruption probe into her acceptance of a $2,000 Dior bag. Yoon is trying to reboot his government after a heavy defeat in parliamentary elections. In his first news conference in nearly 2 years, he said his party had fallen short in efforts to improve people's lives and promised to create a government department to tackle the country's flagging birth rate. And Luis Rubiales will stand trial for his unsolicited kiss of Spanish soccer player Jenny Hermoso. The former Spanish soccer chief faces one count of sexual assault and one of coercion for a kiss Hermoso said was unwanted after her team beat England in the 2023 Women's World Cup final. Rubiales was forced to step down, but has denied any wrongdoing. Some good news for customers of bankrupt crypto exchange FTX. They're getting 100% of their money back, plus interest. That sort of result is rare in bankruptcy proceedings. Very few creditors get all their money back, and some only get pennies on the dollar. But FTX has benefited from a strong rally in cryptocurrencies since it blew up. There is one important bittersweet caveat, though. The amount owed to customers is based on the value of their holdings when FTX went bust in November 2022. That means a customer who lost one Bitcoin, say, when FTX blew up, will be entitled to less than $20,000, even though Bitcoin is now worth more than $60,000. A Brazilian Air Force helicopter airlifts people to safety in Rio Grande do Sul, where heavy rain has caused severe flooding. Scores are dead and tens of thousands have been left homeless. Small boats have been used to reach towns and villages cut off, ferrying people to dry land. Images taken by Reuters show entire airport runways underwater, towns ripped apart by landslides, and babies being frantically rescued. Brazil Bureau Chief Brad Haynes is in Sao Paulo with the latest. Brad, what's causing these floods?
This is a very extreme version of the El Niño phenomenon, right? The tale of the El Niño. So a lot of hot water up in the Atlantic, and then a collision with a cold front farther south has created just devastating rains and flooding on a scale that this state has never seen before.
How is this different to past El Niño downpours Brazil has experienced?
Here, what's really astonishing is that it's just the sheer breadth and the amount of time that that water has fallen on the state. It's meant that over a week later, we're still seeing the situation in some places getting worse by the day, and it's made it incredibly difficult for rescuers to respond. Typically, a week later, we're just picking up the parts and moving on. In this case, rescuers have still not arrived in some of the hardest hit areas.
Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz has condemned as cowardly an attack on a Berlin senator. Franziska Giffey is a former mayor of the city and suffered minor injuries after being hit on the head from behind. It happened in a library and is the latest in a string of attacks on politicians in Germany. Madeleine Chambers is in Berlin. Tell us about Franziska Giffey, first of all.
She is a senior member of the Social Democrats. And so this is a high profile attack, even though she was okay. She was taken to hospital for a checkup and she stood in front of the cameras today and she was obviously shocked, but she's physically okay.
But this has underlined concerns about the safety of politicians in Germany, right?
There have been a number of attacks in the recent days, actually. The most brutal was probably last Friday in the eastern city of Dresden, where another member of the Social Democrats, a member of the European Parliament, was putting up a campaign poster when he was attacked. And he actually got badly hurt and needed to be taken to hospital for emergency surgery. There was another attack on a Greens politician in Dresden. She was pushed and spat at by a young man and woman, and it comes at a polarizing time in German politics, due mainly to the surge in support for the far-right AfD Alternative for Germany. But the AfD leadership has been quick to condemn any attacks on politicians.
Is there talk of needing to do more to protect politicians?
There was actually an urgent meeting called on Tuesday evening. In fact, pretty much the same time as some of these attacks were taking place, the federal interior minister had a meeting with the state interior ministers, and they are talking about possibly drawing up some legislation to stop this violence. This would include more police protection for politicians and also possibly bringing in a specific offence of threatening politicians.
That's almost all for your Thursday. Just time, though, to take you to Marseille and spectacular scenes as the Olympic flame arrives on French soil. It's been transported from Greece on the Belém, a 128-year-old tall ship. A crowd of 150,000 were treated to fireworks and a display by the French Air Force. From Marseille, the torch will continue on an 11-week journey before reaching Paris on July 26th for the opening ceremony. We'll be back tomorrow with our daily headline show. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe on your favorite podcast player or download the Reuters app.